Well, thanks for joining me. If you have gotten through on the phones and you're waiting, I'll do my very best to get you on today, okay? And I want to pray for you and intercede. Let's pray for each other. I need your prayers too, of course. And I'm grateful for this time of prayer together with you. I want to share an email I got from a guy out of Boston. And this is for you. This is for all of us, really. He says, Drew, I know it's been my custom to lift up prayer requests, especially critical ones, to the Lord in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, he writes. And he says, I am ready to tell you that I lifted up all of the April 7th prayer intentions before the Mass on Boston Catholic Television that the callers and you and your assistants mentioned today. He says, expect miracles and swiftly answered prayers. In Christ, I'll leave his name anonymous because I'm not sure whether or not he's a priest who offered them up or he was one of our fellow, you know, prayer warriors here who took all those prayers and lifted them up at the Mass. And what a gift that is, right? There's nothing more powerful than the celebration of the Holy Mass. So I want to pray for Nancy Pelosi today. I'm sure you probably heard the news. She tested positive yesterday for COVID-19, and she's not young. That's just hours after she spent time with President Joe Biden. I want to pray for President Biden as well, for his health, for his protection, for good governance. Jen Psaki, spokesperson for Pelosi, said that she was asymptomatic. So she's been fully vaccinated and boosted, and she says she's thankful for the robust protection the vaccine has provided. So we will see what unfolds, but let's pray for her health and all those who've been exposed to COVID as well. So we'll lift that up. A couple quick intentions that came in here as well I'd like to lift up. This person says, Drew, a friend of mine is being taken to life support today. He's taken off of life support today at noon California time. His name is Brian, so he's just hours away. His name is Brian. He has three little kids. Can you lift him up in the chaplet and maybe ask others as well? So let's pray for him. Lift him up in a particular way. It's so tragic. God's outside of time. He can hear our prayers, and he can certainly heal. And I'll pray for this father with three little children. That's just a killer. Another person says, hey, can you pray for my mother? I'm asking for prayers for a young mother of two. Her name's Nicole. She's going to start chemo today for a very aggressive form of breast cancer. I'd also like to pray for Camille, who's a high school student dealing with an eating disorder, which is believed to be an emotional after effect of dealing with her younger sister's brain cancer diagnosis and subsequent lengthy treatments when they were younger. Thank you for all you do, and please thank everyone for their prayers. Dee, thank you for writing. It's an important prayer we'll be praying for. And this one here, too, could you please pray for Caitlin? Lift her up to the Divine Mercy family and to our Lord. She's tried to commit suicide for the second time the other day. Her mother has been in and out of rehab most of her life, and her father died years ago. She can use all the prayers that she can get so she'll be healthy and stable and in a more solid living condition. And for her own healing and mental health, wow. Yet life is worth living. There's no doubt about that. But there's such deep wounds that cause people to make these egregious mistakes. And let's pray together now for her, for all those who struggle with addiction, all those who are the victims of abuse, all those who don't think life is worth living and want to put an end to it. And I just pray for the healing in this next few minutes that so many souls need. I'm praying with my colleague Maggie today. Maggie, it's always good to have you here with us. Anything you want to lift up?
Thanks, Drew. I'd like to lift up our colleague Eliu. He and his family are waiting on some important papers that I think he would be at ease if they had them in hand. So I just wanted to pray for them. And I have a personal intention as well I'd like to lift up.
We'll keep praying for it. All right, we'll lift that up, Maggie, and let's pray for your mom today, too. I know she prays along with us, and mm-hmm. I think your aunt does, too, and some others. It's always good to have them pray with us. And let's pray for each other. And Lord, God is so good. He's so merciful. As God hears your prayers, and as answers come in, and as miracles take place, and I want to share more answered prayers. I won't have time, I think, today to do it, but I'll definitely do it next time we pray together. Just email me, drew@relevantradio.com. and in the byline put answered prayers, and then just send me a couple sentences, a couple paragraphs, whatever. Tell me the prayer and how God worked that miracle. And boy, there's a lot of answered prayers coming in. So let's pray for you now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Do you ever have that encounter where somebody comes into your mind when you're praying? I want to pray for two people. My colleague here at the network, her name is Amy. She's our chief financial officer, often prays with us here, but I want to pray for her needs. I don't know why she came to me. I want to pray for Kay Burke, a very faithful prayer warrior here every day with us too. So our first call today comes from Rosie. She's in Black Earth, Wisconsin. Hi, Rosie. Good afternoon.
Hello, Drew, and thank you for taking this call and all of your staff. I have three prayer requests for all of your listeners, and I'm also asking for Father Ubald's intermission on these, if it's the will of God. The first one is for our grandson, who's 12 years old, and he is presently in the hospital with pneumonia for the second time this year. And the second one is for a little boy, 10 years old, Drayden, and he has a rare kidney disease, and he is the second oldest of five children. They have a port in his neck to his chest for dialysis, and it's a very rare disease. And the third request is for Donna, who has been battling cancer for a long time, lung cancer. Wow. And I thank you for all you do, Drew. This is so important.
Yeah, I'm grateful for your call, and I'm so grateful you pray with us every day. And Rosie, let's pray for your personal needs, okay? I'm going to lift you up, too. But Lord, I give you these important and incredibly concerning intentions. Her grandson with pneumonia, 10 years old. We pray for those with kidney disease. I want to pray with those with lung cancer. I want to pray for some friends of mine that are having surgery coming up, heart surgery in particular. Lord, I never limit you. In fact, I ask for miracles. I do. Because you can heal with a divine touch, with that spark, with a blink. And I just thank you, Lord. And I ask today that there be many healings. And whatever the ailment is that those children of yours are crying out for, that you lessen the pain, you mitigate the problem, you open the right doors, and then you bring about healing, be it through the miraculous or be it through the medical. Whichever way it may be, Lord, we thank you for it. We trust in you, and I give you Rosie's intentions and all who now unite with me as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Melissa. She's praying in St. Paul, Minnesota. Good afternoon, Melissa.
Good afternoon, Drew. I'm just calling today for a few things. My brother is going through a divorce, and it's just not a very good one, and he struggles with his mental health, and I'm just praying for a miracle.
Okay.
And also for my marriage, too. My health and mental health are deteriorating since I've had my daughter 4 years ago, and it's multi-system issues I'm having, and hair loss and tachycardia and suddenly allergic to many things, and it feels just unbearable to take care of my children, and I miss out on doing things with them, and it's just really bringing me down, and I'm not really seeing much hope, and I'm really clinging to Jesus, and my children need me, and my daughter also struggles with depression, anxiety, OCD, and history of self-harm, and I just feel I'm drowning, and I really am holding on to a big cup for God to come through, because I also need to help take care of my dad, my brother, and his family. I host all the parties and everything because of my mom's passing, and just really we need healing.
Yeah, you've been going through this for a while. Yeah, I remember you. Yeah. I remember your call. We've been praying for you. I want you to hang in there, okay? And let's pray. Hair loss is a difficult thing. I mean, tachycardia, all the other issues you're dealing with on a personal level, alone with your family. You must be a special soul in the eyes of God. And I know that's hard. It's really hard to get your head around because, you know, when we suffer, we want to be free of it. I understand that. St. Faustina wrote, I think it's Diary Entry 78. She says, God never tries us beyond what we're able to suffer. And I know sometimes that doesn't seem true. Because you think, I just can't take another day. I can't take another second. I can't endure anymore. She wrote in her diary, she says, I fear nothing. If God sends me such great suffering, if he sends that suffering to a soul, then he'll uphold it with even greater grace, although we're not aware of it. That's kind of the secret there. I was always struck by that. You know, God will send you the grace you need. He'll uphold you with even greater grace in the suffering you're enduring, even though you may not feel it, see it, or be aware of it. She says, one act of trust in these moments, this trial, this struggle, this valley you're in, gives greater glory to God than whole hours passed in prayer filled with these consolations. So God is generous. He doesn't deny his grace. I know he's with you in this moment. I just want you to endure. You will get through this. You'll be a witness and a testimony to the power of God's grace and the beauty of this prayer. So Lord, right now I give you Melissa, who's been carrying this cross a long time and is overwhelmed, is losing hope. I just ask you to give her blessings. Let her see those kisses from heaven, those rays of mercy and in light. And I pray for conversion and transformation of her situation. I pray for others in the same situation. So many people, Lord, would say, I can't take any more. I'm drowning in debt. I can't take the cancer. I can't take the hardship in my relationship. I can't take the addiction. I just ask today, Father, that there be a super abundance of grace for these souls. We pray, eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, of course, we'll take your Twitter intentions, too. I know not everybody can get through on the phone, so just send it to us, at Drew Mariani Show. All right, at Drew Mariani Show, and we'd love to pray for you. Maggie monitors our Twitter, and of course, shares many of those intentions on the air. Maggie, who's writing to us today?
Desiree wrote to us. She said, "Hey, Drew, please pray for a little 5-year-old who's in the hospital with possible sepsis. His whole family really needs prayer as they lost his older brother at 5 years old as well to the same diagnosis in 2019. Please pray for a divine mercy miracle." Matt wrote to us, said, "I want to pray for the people attending the Ignited by Truth conference in Raleigh tomorrow. Patrick Madrid will be speaking. My wife and I are attending, and we hope that people's hearts are opened and that this is a game changer for many." Anna wrote to us. She said, "I love praying the chaplet with you every day. Please pray for my healing and recovery from a stroke, and also a special intention." Annalisa wrote to us asking for prayers for her cousin Lonnie Joe, who had surgery yesterday after he fell 7 feet and landed on his back. Wow. Surgery wasn't an option, but thank God for the doctors that are treating him. They're hoping for a speedy recovery. And then lastly, this just brought me a lot of joy. Shannon wrote to us. She said, "Hi, Drew. After 20 years of praying for the conversion of my husband, he will be making his first reconciliation tonight and will be baptized."
Wow. That's fantastic. Yeah.
"And make his first communion next Saturday." She said, "Please pray for him. His name is Lou. Thanks be to God."
Wow, makes me so happy. That's so great. You know, I'm sorry she had to pray for 20 years, but I do love that testimony because, you know, the bottom line is, you know, sometimes it takes years. You know, I was having a conversation. I had dinner with a priest friend of mine about 3-4 weeks ago, and they said to me, he says, you know, so often he's seen conversion. He says, if you pray for the loved one that's away from the faith, your child, your spouse, whoever it may be, you continue to pray. He says, I guarantee you, you know, God will hear that prayer. And I say the same thing on the air all the time. He says, but you know what? He says, it's those conversions that take the longest, those 10 years, 15, 20-year conversions. Look at Augustine. Look how long his mother prayed. They seem to be the most powerful, the most long-lasting. And 20 mm-hmm. years, I mean, just keep at it. I know you're praying for your kids, your loved ones now. Don't stop praying. God will hear that prayer. Trust me on that. God will hear it. And what a great testimony. Meg, email me that. I want to put that in my folder here of answered prayers. I love that. Mm-hmm. Mary is in Wisconsin. We'll add her to our decade here, too. Mary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I am calling, asking for a couple of intentions. I have my friend whose grandmother is soon to be passing, and I wanted to pray for her soul and for peace for the whole family. And I also wanted to pray for my son who we just, you know, a few months ago found out that he has same-sex attraction. And for my oldest son who is cohabitating and they're now expecting a baby. So just a lot of struggles,
Mary,
I guess.
Yeah, keep praying for your kids, okay? Just keep praying. Love them, you know, we'll pray for them and the struggles that they may have, and God will bring good out of every situation, all right? So don't lose hope for those kids. We'll continue to pray, and we'll seek God's mercy in those relationships. And Lord, I pray for this soul in particular that's approaching the threshold of new life, is about to be called home by you. We ask by virtue of our prayers, you embrace her as a merciful Savior. And I pray for all those who are dying in this moment, all those you'll be calling home in the not-too-distant future, and for the hour of our own death. We ask for your mercy in those moments. But I do pray for anyone who has same-sex attraction or who's struggling with impurity or pornography or cohabitating or cheating on their spouse. Let's just pray for a proper understanding of our sexuality, the proper use of it, Lord. And I pray for family members who sometimes are torn up by this as well. And I give you those situations and ask for your mercy and your grace. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Kathy is joining us from sunny Florida, Claremont, Florida. Hi, Kathy. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay, Kathy. How are you? How can we pray for you?
I'm very good. I would like to pray for Linda and Dan. Linda is taking care of her dying ex-husband. He's got cancer all over his body. And he just keeps hanging in there. She keeps trying to pray for him, but he says he doesn't want it, but then he has times when he's not in his right mind and he'll say he's praying for somebody. Mm-hmm. So we know it's there, you know.
Yeah.
And also, my sister's daughter was just put into the hospital yesterday or the day before with a diabetic coma. All the lights for my family. My daughter has two sons that are autistic, nonverbal, and her husband's decided he really didn't think he wanted kids now.
Wow.
So, but you know, it's, I think what it is he's autistic a little bit and doesn't want to bring it out. So just the whole family. Yeah.
All right, Kathy, let's pray for you right now. I'm glad you got through today. I'm going to pray, especially for your niece in that coma and for. Lord, again, I give you those who are approaching the hour of death. The Lord said, pray as much as you can for those souls because they have the most need of those prayers. They have the most need of trust, and it's in those moments they have it the least. And our prayers, she says, can give them the grace, bring about the grace of eternal salvation for certain souls. So, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to participate in this. And I give you every one of Kathy's intentions for her family, for those with autism. But I pray for all families right now. We pray for our spouses, our children, our parents, our loved ones, those who've gone before us. And Lord, I take Kathy, I unite her to the rest of your spiritual, rest of your children here, and we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our final call comes from Mary Beth praying in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Hi, Mary Beth. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I would like to lift up my niece. She's out in California. No family out there. Her parents live in the Chicago area. And she got a brand new job. It was a kickoff party for this new company she was working for. And she fell and broke both of her ankles.
Oh.
One needed surgery to put plates and pins in. And the other one was in a boot. And a couple days after that, she was in the hospital. She had the surgery. They had told her to move to twist on the boot so she didn't put any weight on the surgery leg, and her knee went out.
Oh my gosh.
So now even the one with just the boot is in something to hold the leg so it's perfectly straight. I just pray. They did say that work comp, they would pay work comp, told her not to worry about it because it was the first day the company was opening.
Right.
And I just pray that they do follow through with that because changing company, she doesn't have health insurance yet. And I pray that somehow, maybe for Easter, she can get home. I don't know how she would do that, but I know her father is out there trying to help her and she's in a rehab facility. But being out there all by herself, I just I pray her faith stays strong and she turns to God for assistance.
Let's pray for that right now. Mary Beth, thank you for calling. I'm going to pray for your needs too. But I give you this niece. What a tragedy. You know, lost all ability right now to walk. You healed the lame. You restored sight to the blind and you raised the dead. I give you, Heavenly Father, through the intercession, through the passion and death of Jesus, every soul who's praying with me now, everyone on hold, everyone who's written to me, everyone who needs that miracle, that healing, that new beginning, that blessing. And I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Health,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Fatima,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Stay with me when I return. Father Leo Petalinghug is going to be joining us. You'll love this conversation.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, great to be with you today. Stopping by in just a quick minute, Father Leo Petalinghug is going to be gracing us with his expertise. He's the author of a book called Grace Before Meals. I just found out, too, that he has a food truck. I don't know a whole lot about that. I'll get you plugged into him. But he's such a great personality. He's a priest, a member of the community of consecrated life, of Voluntas Dei, and founder and host of Director, I should say, of Plating Grace. It's a beautiful apostolate that really helps families. It strengthens a relationship through the gift of a family meal. I don't know if you eat together with your family or you guys are too busy. Maybe you work late, or maybe they've got piano lessons or got to head off to soccer or whatever it might be. You know, family meals, there's so much evidence out there that talks about how important that is. And, you know, the studies are long. They talk about, you know, the kids are less likely to smoke cigarettes, to do drugs, to have premarital sex, to keep, I mean, you go through the whole litany of things. I won't rattle them all up, but he'll be stopping by. I asked him to come by today because I saw a story, just something I wanted to get from him as a priest, and you're more than welcome to join me too, about this need to abstain. A true story. This morning, my wife was going to make me breakfast. Actually, it was kind of late. I didn't really have breakfast, and She goes, well, how about an egg? I said, well, okay, an egg will hold me over before I get to the studio and do the show. And she ended up frying up a piece of turkey bacon. And I'm like, I can't eat. Oh, my gosh, I forgot. That's right. Today's Friday, right? We are called to abstain. You know, during Lent, we don't eat meat. We give up things like meat on Fridays. That used to be the norm, not the exception, right? Have you done that? Have you, over the course of Lent, almost ate meat or gone ahead and done it? Back in 1966, the Catholic bishops of the states, they abrogated the formal obligation of abstinence on Fridays outside of Lent. And doesn't mean we're not called to fast, though, right? Well, yeah, okay, we're not supposed to eat meat. It suddenly became Fish Fridays. I see people on this day lose the penitential aspect of Fridays, what it's all about. And, you know, they're having this beautiful pasta with, you know, jumbo shrimp or a beautiful stuffed piece of salmon or whatever it might be. I mean, you can trade it out for something other than the meat. It's not really a sacrifice. We are still called to unite our suffering to that of the Lord, to remember his passions on Fridays throughout the year. And the purpose of Lent is to remind, I think, Catholics of this very basic truth that penance, conversion, especially from sin, that's what the Christian life is all about. And, you know, and believe me, I'm too young for it, but the Catholics who used to have to fast from meat, you know, they stood out in the culture. People knew who a Catholic was. You know, they would see these Catholics and know, oh, that person's a Catholic, because they would not eat meat on those particular days. I think we've lost that. We've become so blurred with the rest of the culture. I think maybe, and again, you have to wash your face and comb your hair, right? The scripture says when you fast, when you pray, go to your room. You don't want to wear it like a badge of honor. I also do, though, think sometimes it is this certain practice's visibility. It does let you stand out in a way that sometimes will draw people closer to God or prick their conscience or maybe have them think about why are you doing this? What do you have in that relationship that makes you want to do this with the Lord? Here to help us go through some of this, to take your calls, your questions, to talk about his great outreach, because food is such a blessing from God, is Father Leo Padalinghug. Father, it's good to have you with me. Good afternoon.
Thanks. It's good to be on with you, Drew. Thank you.
Yeah, I saw that story, and I was thinking, well, who can I talk to about this? This whole concept of abstinence, giving up certain foods. And you're like the food priest. I mean, I immediately thought of you. I said, that'd be a great guest to discuss this. So I want to talk about food. I want to talk about prayer before meals. I want to talk about eating together. I want to talk about even your food truck. I think it's a great way to evangelize. Before we do, let's deal with this concept of abstinence, you know, of sacrifice, of remembering our Lord's sacrifice on Fridays. We've gotten away from, you know, that penitential aspect of it. Yeah, we're not eating meat, and that can be a sacrifice. But boy, we can certainly, you know, supplant that with something that's pretty delicious.
Absolutely. It really goes to the heart of why we have it as a discipline during the Lenten season, because it's a theological reminder of how the Jewish people had to go without for 40 years and how Jesus in the desert went without, you know, the basic comforts. So it kind of unites us to a theological reality. But it also unites our soul and our body in a little bit more cohesion, because the scriptures talk about how the body wages war against the spirit in us. And so what we try to do is strengthen our souls by disciplining our bodies. And so it teaches us that our bodies are always going to crave comfort and the sweetness in life. But when our soul is somehow, you know, challenged or hurt or broken, then what it's really showing to us that we need to strengthen our soul. And, you know, you could have a completely healthy person physically, but their spirituality, their psychology, their emotions, they're all messed up. So the fasting and the abstinence are practical disciplines to make sure that the soul is strong enough to handle the struggles of life, because it's not just a physical reality that we live in. We also live in a spiritual reality. And so as someone exercises the body, how do we actually exercise the soul? And so fasting and abstinence, they are ways to do that.
So help me, Lent's just about over. I should have spoken to you on day one of Lent. I should have spoken to you on Ash Wednesday. Food is such a grace, such a blessing, such a joy from God. It really is. Over Lent, what have you done? I mean, what are some of the things that you've done that, in terms of meals, that, you know, some might be penitential, others, you know, may not be. But how's food and your Lent worked out? What have you done? How's that been incorporated?
For me, I'm always on the road anyway, and I'm always having to eat people's food that they give to me. So one of the things I have to do is not make them uncomfortable with the particular disciplines that I have. So, you know, the last thing I want to do is make myself sound holier than thou. If they give me something and say, oh, I gave that up. You know, I mean, they went through the trouble of serving it. So Jesus basically said, eat what is set before you. Amen. So I can't create a deeper problem simply because I'm fasting from something. But from a personal point of view, I certainly do all of the basic things of going without certain things, you know, even these small little things of like not putting salt and pepper on my food when the food comes out, also cutting back on meals. But there's also something that I do. I actually go to my entire cabinets and my freezer, and I don't buy any new food unless I need to. I'll just simply go through all of the food that I've kind of collected in cans or, you know, frozen, and I'll use that as my food. And obviously the other thing that I try to do is cut back on my expenses so that the monies that I've saved can actually be given to charity. And, you know, that's kind of connected to the work that we do with our food truck. And so some of the monies that I have saved because I went without or didn't go out or bought less, I just simply donate that to the poor.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I didn't realize this, but you have a food truck. I mean, you know, I love the call to evangelize. You know, we're called to cast a net out into the deep, and we should use every method we possibly can. About a week ago, I had a woman on who actually has the only Catholic coffee shop in the country, and it's such a great way to evangelize. They actually have the Blessed Sacrament there on site. They've been given that. Tell me about the food truck. Where do you take it? What's happening there? And do you see it as a means of evangelization?
Yeah. So during COVID, I turned a certain age where most people would buy a convertible for themselves, but I didn't. I bought a food truck because during COVID, I also went around and just delivered food to the poor because they had no one to panhandle. And so they were really hurting. The homeless in the area were really hurting. So I just kind of packed my car up and just regularly went out and made sandwiches for them and, you know, just gave them something to eat.
Right.
And it kind of hit me with my board on the Table Foundation, which is my 501c3 nonprofit. They actually kind of suggested that we do something on a bigger scale, and the idea of a food truck came about. And so we worked incredibly hard and quickly. And during COVID, we actually got a food truck up and running. And we hire also people coming from disadvantaged communities, including, you know, vets with PTSD, as well as people coming out of the prison system. And so they make a part of our team. And so we give them a job, we give them a second chance, but we also teach them the virtues of service. Many of them are not they're not Catholic, they're barely Christian, but they know that the truck is on a mission to kind of give back to the community. And so our base is in Baltimore, but we travel kind of along the East Coast, you know, to the states closest to Maryland. But we also hope to expand this and maybe even encourage other churches or dioceses to get their own food truck and replicate what we are doing. And it's really made a difference.
It's such a brilliant idea. And wouldn't that be great? Food trucks in 50 states or parishes throughout the country. You know, food is such a great way of drawing people together. What a wonderful way to evangelize. And the fact that you've reached out to those who have done time, I often feel bad for them. Those who've been incarcerated, they need second chances. And I love that. Let me take a short pause here. When we come back, if you want to join us, we'll go to the phones, take a couple calls too. Speaking today with Father Leo Padalinghug. The number to get in, 888-914-9149. Our conversation continues right after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, great to be with you once again. If you're just joining me, I'm talking this afternoon with Father Leo Padalinghug, and you can get in 888-914-9149. He is a priest who God has called really to evangelize through the culinary arts, and he's written a book, if you want to read it, Grace Before Meals. I've spoken to him in the past about that, but founded a ministry called Plating Grace, and it really is out to help strengthen families and their relationship through God's gift to the family meal. We're just talking Lent, food, abstinence, a whole lot of things. Anything goes for him. And Father, before I jump into the phones, I'm going to grab a couple quick calls here for you. I want to get back to that aspect of a family meal. My wife and I, it was one of the things we've always insisted on when we were raising our kids. We had a family meal, no television on, couldn't have a cell phone at the table, you know. It was about us, and we'd always talk about what happened in everybody's day. And, of course, there'd be fights sometimes between the kids over the mashed potatoes or whatever, but, you know, at least we were all together, right? Why is that so important? And I know there's a lot of data, a lot of research has been done on this that shows it has long-reaching effects.
It is actually not important. It's necessary. And there's a big difference. And so we advocate that if families are not eating together, it's because there are forces that are pulling the family apart, including the devil. So what we've got to do is master our schedule so that we can actually fulfill the roles that we have in our family. And that is to love one another, to be present to one another. And so it's very common sense. That's why I say there's a difference between the importance of a family meal or the necessity of the family meal, because it's the one thing that teaches children how to develop into a mature adult. We've unfortunately abrogated those responsibilities and relegated them to teachers. And we know that as much as we want to respect our teachers, there are some who have a great agenda to destroy the child's minds. And so that family meal becomes the opportunity for discernment, for clarifying, for example showing, for modeling what it looks like to truly be loving, to be patient, and to serve one another. So our work with Plating Grace and in all of the books, including one that's most recent, it's called Saving the Family. It's teaching families how they can still stay connected as a family during the different generations of a family's life. You know, it's easy to be together when they're toddlers because, you know, my gosh, they can't do anything without you. But when they turn into teenagers, how do you strengthen your relationship as a family? And when they become young adults or even move on? So I think what we've got to do is regain an understanding of how food and the family meal is a sacramental reminder of what we're supposed to be doing at church, because the family is the domestic church. And so we have to reflect what we are doing at church and what we're doing in the family. And it's a command to keep the Sabbath day holy. I believe that God wrote in our hearts a commandment to make sure that we are spending the time together, because if we don't feed our children, the devil will.
You are so good. I could not agree with you more. I love the way you said that. And it's really, I think, a great charge to all who are listening. You can begin anew today. I mean, maybe make it a new policy in your family. Let's eat together. It's not a necessity. You know, he says it's an absolute. It's a must, right?
Yeah.
I guess it isn't a necessity. So, yeah, here we go. Let's go back to the phones. Orange County, California. Margarita, good afternoon. You're on the air with Father Padalinghug.
Yes. Hi, Father. I was wondering if you could recommend some special meals for the Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday.
Good question.
Yeah. Well, first, the Holy Thursday is a meal where we obviously commemorate Jesus's service to his disciples and, you know, body and blood of Christ, the first Eucharist. So I would recommend doing something that has bread, you know, a central focus on bread, you know, and it could be just about anything, but it also could include some lamb as well, because it is supposed to be a great feast day where the Lamb of God lays himself onto that Last Supper table. On Friday, I actually have some recipes on my website and obviously in my books that talk about how you can use, there's something called falafels, and it's basically a chickpea fritter. And in the past, people used to eat that to replace meat because chickpeas have, you know, a good source of vitamins and even protein. Okay. And so you could make falafels because that is kind of a non-meat but very hearty meal. And, you know, it goes a little goes a long way. And then on Saturday, obviously, it's going to be a great celebration. But what I try to recommend people doing is just eating a modest meal on Saturday in anticipation, obviously, for the Easter vigil. And then afterwards, have everything you kind of gave up and truly celebrate because it is the Feast of All Feasts. So there are definitely ideas in the website and in my books, but just keep to the theme of the Triduum.
Love it. Okay. Thank you, Margarita. Great
thank
call.
You. Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you.
All right. We'll go to our next call. This is Justice calling from Bakersville, California. As a priest, I think he's got a question for you. He's a non-Catholic. Hi, Justice. Thanks for joining us.
Hi.
Go right ahead, Justice. Yeah, we can. We only have about 4 minutes, so I'm sorry you have such a little time, but go right ahead.
No, that's fine. I'll make it quick for you. I'm Christian, not really Catholic. I've been gone my whole life. My family has. I think it's just I want to pray that you guys pray for me for more understanding, maturity through God's eyes, how to be a man for my family, and help my wife forgive me as I forgive her for things that we've done years ago and problems that are still present today that I wish wasn't, you know, kind of a lot of regret, and I'm just scared because now that I'm older, I realize life is a lot more than it really was when I was younger, and I just want God and my family in my life, and I just have this feeling inside that's, you know, I can't explain.
I think it's a grace working in you right now. I think God's reaching out to you. That's why you're having this epiphany, this conversion, both of heart and mind, and that's the Holy Spirit at work. And Father, we only have a few minutes here. Let me let you respond to Justice and help him in this time of, I guess, both confusion and need for direction.
Well, obviously, I'll say a prayer for you today, but also recommend that you kind of get back to the table and share a meal. Let's not have an agenda to talk all the time, but just the very presence of serving one another. That's actually what heals relationships. It's exactly the same situation as the prodigal son returning to the father, and the father basically put on a lavish meal, and there was no finger wagging or I told you so. It was just pure mercy and forgiveness, and that time together was an opportunity for celebration. So you might want to schedule a time for you as a family just to come together without an agenda, just to serve each other, because serving each other is loving each other. And I will say a prayer for you, and God bless your faith.
Yeah. Hey, Justice, thank you. Call on Monday, and I'll get you into the chapel. We'll pray with our spiritual family there, okay? And we'll lift you and your family up, okay? So be glad to pray for you then. Count on my prayers, too. Hang in there, brother. And trust in God's mercy and his grace. I know he's at work in your life. And communication with your wife, a lot of prayer, and you're going to be fine. Father, I have about a minute to go. People want your book, Grace Before Meals. They want to get in touch with your ministry or start a food truck. What's the best way to connect?
Go to platinggrace.com. That's just what we call, you know, providing a beautiful experience of plating God's grace. So platinggrace.com, or just Google Father Leo. I'll certainly pop up on your charts with the website, and all of the information can be found there.
Sounds great. Father, thank you for joining me. It's such a delight. I hope you have a very blessed Holy Week and grace-filled Triduum and Resurrection Sunday. I hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks, and with your spirit, God bless.
God bless you. That's Father Leo Padalinghug. Say a prayer for him and the beautiful ministry that he's involved with. Your news and headlines are coming up straight ahead. I'll be back on the other side. We've still got a lot to talk about, so stay with me. The conversation continues right after this.